South Africa is at loggerheads about the hate speech bill, and the country is debatably as divided as before the dawn of our new democracy, now with an added threat of potential repression and jail time. The fear is that when certain speech is criminalized, no one would dare open their mouths for fear that someone may take offense and report them to the authorities. Debate on issues such as what is morally right and wrong, what is just and unjust, would be shut down, and the very freedoms we cherish as South Africans, namely free speech and freedom of religion, would be reined in. There's also fear that it would stop whistleblowers from coming forward to expose corruption, while there has been concern from some religions on the way it will impact on what it preaches. This morning we discussed the issue with regards to the hate speech bill, and we welcome Bongiwe Mashlongo from the organization Concern Young People of South Africa. Bongiwe, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We also welcome to the program Marae Hunter from Right to Know. Marae, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much for having us as always.
And then we have on the line Zohra Dawood from the director in the Center for Unity and Diversity at the FW Declared Organization. Zohra, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam and thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We begin with yourself, Bongiwe. Let's start with you. In a statement, the concerned young people of South Africa stated that the most governments protect their citizens' right to freedom of speech and the freedom to practice the religion of their choice by means of the constitution. In South Africa, new laws will pave the way for an era of repression and persecution because of the whims of our dictators. Can you perhaps elaborate on that?
Yes, because South Africa is governed by a constitution, and our constitution provides for freedom of speech and freedom of religion. However, the hate speech, which the purpose of which is to provide for hate crimes, it will also affect freedom of speech. So I can say that in a way, from having examined the bill itself, it will almost close it altogether.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it might have the impact that we will lose the protection that we have of the Constitution, making it unconstitutional.
Talking about examining the bill, Marae, yourself, what are your concerns? Where is this bill is concerned after having looked at it and examined it? What do you find to be the problem areas?
Look, I think the real
I moved on to Marae Hunter.
Sorry to interrupt. I think that the real concern here is that this bill is attempting to make certain kinds of speech a criminal offense. Now, under this bill, a wide range of expressions, and it could be speeches, it could be social media posts, it could be a song, it could be a gesture even. These sorts of communications, if they're deemed to bring contempt upon someone, or bring ridicule upon someone, or injure them in any way, on the basis of race, class, gender, sexual orientation, religion and a variety of other aspects. If someone communicates on that basis and offends or injures someone, it would become a criminal offense. And look, I think that we do need to recognize that there are very deep wounds in our country along the lines of discrimination and bigotry. People are suffering real harm from these sorts of things. We've seen our penny sparrows. We've seen almost anyone in this country has at some time suffered some sort of indignity like this. But we do believe that criminalizing these sorts of conversations, criminalizing the speech itself, is not going to remedy us. It's not going to make us a more tolerant society. It's not going to make us a more enlightened society. Instead, it could actually deepen our division. When you try to clamp down on speech rather than really addressing the root causes of that speech, we think that it becomes, firstly, an assault on freedom of expression and really clamps down on the dialogue that we need to have. But secondly, it might actually make the problems of intolerance worse.
Zora, coming to yourself, you know, in terms of criminalizing certain types of speech, this seems to be we're heading for a situation where we will have what we could put or we could term in brackets new types of criminals. You know, what impact will that have on our society?
I think firstly I want to just add to something that Murray said. It's not about the act only, but it's also about perception. And that is extremely dangerous ground. So if someone perceives someone to be racist or sexist or discriminatory in one form or another, that too falls within the ambit of this proposed bill. My major concern is the net effect of this in many, many societies across the world is that it will result in a dumbing down of free expression. So people will start self-censoring because they don't want to cross paths with the law. So you talk about a new category of crime and criminal. I don't think we must be dramatic by calling it what it isn't. Advocates for free expression should protect the ground fiercely, because while we talk about the penny sparrows and the malemas and, you know, a range of other people who have said the most dreadful things and categorized people in the most awful, inhumane ways, I think the purpose of this bill is also not without its sort of political capture, in the sense that, and we all know, and we all went through the period of the spear and other, what Zuma particularly perceived as ridicule of self. If the law comes to be, I think cartoonists and comedians and stand-up comics will also cross, will be in the line of fire. So it has an impact very broadly, and we've got to resist the implementation of the bill. I want to add that clumping together hate speech and hate crimes is not the way to do it. We all recognize that hate crimes must be criminalized, but there's an existing infrastructure of law, and the equality courts are not very strong, not very robust.
Yes.
But nevertheless, I think we should, as civil society, be advocating for strengthening existing mechanisms that are in accordance with the Constitution, as opposed to shoot from the hip sort of pieces of law.
Yes. We continue with our discussion. We're looking at the hate speech and hate crime bill, and we have with us a number of guests this morning. We come back to you, Bongiwe, in terms of this particular bill, and you know, from a young person's point of view, would you rather be amongst other young people trying to understand one another's difference than see the issues being forced behind closed doors again?
Of course, I think it is important as young people to be able to take part and understand one another, and to take part in decisions that are taken in the country. But if conversation or dialogue is closed off, or you are in danger of committing a crime by saying something, maybe even unintentionally or not intending to hurt someone. So at the end of the day, we as young people are going to end up being quiet or not able to speak up. And I think that's when most problems begin, when people are quiet, because then things happen and nobody wants to say anything against anyone.
Marie, with regards to the comment that you made, and you spoke about this bill dividing us further, or at least we are standing to debate issues such as race and culture, will we now be forced these issues into dark corners instead of discussing what makes us different and learning to understand and respect one another?
Well, I think that it's very painful to imagine the sort of the injury that has been done, Zora talked about the injury to the person. I think that it's very painful to imagine why a bill like this might receive popular support. Although, quite interestingly, it doesn't appear to receive popular support. Despite the high incidence of xenophobia, of homophobia, of transphobia, we actually see that, at least from Right to Know's experience, taking this conversation to public meetings, we actually see even people who've been victims of racism say, actually, we don't think that this sort of speech should be criminalized. Even people who've been victims of, let's say, transphobia or homophobia say, actually, we really do worry about the sorts of attacks on our character and our dignity and the advocating of hatred towards us. But we see that the criminalizing of this sort of speech is going to create more problems than it creates solutions. There are also some real concerns that a system like this will inherently end up advantaging people who already have access to the systems, who already have recourse and sort of a social institutional capital. So, for instance, if you start to criminalize racist speech, it's not going to be the penny sparrows who suffer worse. In fact, there's an argument that the sort of regime that is being created by a bill like this will actually advantage the right-wing and racist groups most of all if they're well-organized, if they're well-funded, if they have good legal teams and legal strategies. And it's more marginalized voices who may find themselves more policed.
Now, Zora, in terms of the impact for religious groupings, where will this leave South Africans with regards to the religious space? You know, there are the issues of homosexuality, sex before marriage, etc., etc. Will the law now dictate what is preached and in whichever belief system it may be?
Well, I think we must go back to the Constitution as the touchstone. Because even if for some bizarre reason, and I hope our policymakers will take cognizance of the resistance to the hate speech bill and not let it go any further. If for some reason it goes further and is legislated, I think we mustn't forget that we have a very robust civil society that will litigate its constitutionality. So I want to say that upfront, I'm quite positive that if for some strange reason it goes further down the pike of the legal route, that we would be able to challenge that in the Constitutional Court. In relation to your question, the Constitution is very clear that freedom of religion, freedom of thought, freedom of expression is enshrined. If you read the preamble to the Constitution, you read the Bill of Rights, it's all vested and it is our protections. I think the bigger question that you're alluding to is, should we close down spaces on, you know, the Prophet Muhammad cartoon, for example? It was a huge spectrum of interest and thought on whether it should have been published, whether the Mail and Guardian should have, whether, you know, and it got very personal. But it gave rise to conversations, and I think that's what we must guard. We don't have to agree, but we must defend anyone's right to be able to voice their views. And that's exactly what we're arguing for, that I would argue for, you know, for the rest of my life, that we have to create the spaces and hold the spaces for these discussions. I don't think you can have a religious leader of whatever religion dictate that this is what we should do, or there should be no recognition of LGBTI rights, or whatever the issue is. Because the Constitution is binding and the Constitution provides for equality for all, we have to keep those spaces open. Particular religious interpretations notwithstanding, or private interpretations about sexuality, marriage, etc. notwithstanding. I think we mustn't forget that the Constitution, and we must all pay due regard to the Constitution, and I think it's a document that protects us all. So I feel positive in that sense.
Any closing thoughts from yourself, Bongiwe?
Just in closing, I would say that freedom of speech is like the cornerstone of a healthy society. and it's important that it's protected at all times. And somebody once said that we've got those rights, but we must also protect them and fight for them, because it can be taken away just with a stroke of a pen.
From yourself, Murray, what's your thoughts as we conclude this discussion, and how do we take it forward?
Well, I think one of the important points that has been raised already is the fact that we have existing mechanisms. If we want to combat racism, sexism, homophobia, these different social ills that are really a significant problem in South Africa, we have existing mechanisms. We have something called the Equality Courts. We have something for short known as the Equality Act, which allows anyone who's actually been a victim of one of these crimes to actually take action in a way that's restorative, in a way that is empowering. And the problem that, you know, Zora said that these are weak systems, and it's true, but the problem here is not the law that's on paper. The problem is that this system has been systemically underfunded, undermined, poorly implemented. If we genuinely want to bring justice to people and to protect people's rights against this sort of prejudice, we need to insist that government starts to take these systems seriously and really makes them empowering systems.
We appreciate all your thoughts this morning. Thank you very much for chatting to us, and we look forward to taking the discussion further.
Thank you.
That was Bongiwe from the organization Concerned Young People in South Africa, right to know Murray Hunter, as well as Zora from the Klerk Foundation, discussing the issue of the hate bill as well as the hate crimes bill. I think it's of great concern to us, you know, the issue, and we've seen it come up with regards to Mufti Ismail Mank when he was linked to, or he had some sort of a relationship with Sonibel Williams, and because of that, Sonibel Williams was put into the spotlight, and they said that his sponsorship with the BMW was going to be terminated because he had links to what they termed as a radical cleric, which is nothing, you know, just mild comments, just stating the position of Islam in this regard. So we need to fiercely debate this particular, we need to oppose it from being put into place, so that we don't have a situation where a Maulana who's preaching to his congregation says anything that is against, you know, gay or homosexuality or anything like that, and you have a situation where he's being charged for hate crimes, and this would obviously attack the core of our religious freedoms that we have in our country.